Hello and welcome back to season 5 of the Emirates Lab podcast, the show from Flotsam, where this year we're on a mission to uncover the many ways market research shapes and is shaped by the world around us, and also to learn how to navigate a really fast-changing commercial landscape. I'm excited for this episode to be joined by Harriet Walton, Insight Manager at Flotsam and 2024 Significant Insights 30 Under 30 honoree, and finalist for the Grit Future List, who's here to share her story and what it takes to become a young future leader in market research. Harriet, welcome to the show.
Hiya, thank you for having me.
So before we jump into today's topic, first of all, I'd just like to ask, how did you get into the research industry and how did you get to this point where you're at in your career?
So it's not something I ever would have imagined I would want to do or subsequently enjoy. Coming from academic research, I think it's really difficult to get an accurate picture of what market research looks like in comparison. And I think I'm part of a big group of people who found academic research really daunting, quite a difficult challenge. It's long and slow, and it really wasn't for me. I had family who had been massively successful in market research before, so I did know a bit about it. It was never something we were told about as an option from university or anything like that. So it's something I sort of fell into by accident to fill some of my time in a post-COVID world that was very weird for us all, and just really began to understand how it matched with an ongoing passion of understanding who we are, how we behave, and things that can affect and drive that, and giving me the space to sort of feed that back to some really large organizations and really empower them with that information. How did I get to this point in my career? I think I've had a massive advantage working for a smaller agency in not really being pigeonholed into one task and being let loose on all of the different things that are involved and relevant when working in market research, which really quickly gave me such a good wide experience of things I could do and choose to pursue and progress into. So I think just being presented with so many opportunities and seizing them as a young person with a lot of time has really benefited me to get to where I am right now.
So I have a full list of questions to ask you, but you've already said something which is going to take me off script. Now, you mentioned kind of the comparison between academic and market research. How do you see that difference? Are there like a lot of transferable skills? Is it, you know, a very different environment? What's your take on that?
Yeah, so I've had this conversation a lot with people who've come from a similar background to myself. So thinking about social science degrees, obviously, there are lots of transferable skills and the processes are very similar in themselves, thinking about research methodologies, how we interpret data and things like that. The thing that was most different for me and has actually opened me up more to staying in market research is the speed and the variety of what we do. The thing I struggled with the most with academic research was red tape and delays. Every time you try and do something, getting ethical approval can be really difficult. I think the added stress of it having such a high impact on grading within university courses means it's always something that has so much anxiety around it. It can be difficult for anyone to get any enjoyment out of completing that kind of work. So stepping into market research, and I know the first time I saw my data being used by a client and it came up on the television in front of me, you would never get that sort of reward from academic research. It's a completely different game. And so I find that particularly rewarding, seeing the changes that the clients are making based off of what I've said and the power that my voice can have. I've really underestimated. So it's been really nice to see how the impact I can have as an individual as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I also think on the academic research front, a lot of people make this comparison that maybe market research isn't as rigorous, or it's a step down from academic research because it has a goal. You know, you're going to inform a decision at a company about should you do X, Y, Z, what do these people think? Whereas social sciences, academia is more pure research. And we like to think that, but the reality is I don't think that's always the case either when your goal is to publish in a journal which has specific standards and will only accept a specific type of research or paper. So I think it's, in a way, also you hit on this idea of just choosing what your constraints are and choosing where you can have the biggest impact. I think that's really important.
Yeah, and the methodologies are very different. My focus was always quantitative research before stepping into market research. And I think that's where the biggest differences do lie. But there's a trade-off to be made with market research in terms of how complex do we need to take things to be able to reach the same answer that is just as valid. Some of this work, dependent on the sector, is so tight on time, you cannot complete it, you know, as hardcore a methodology as you would on a piece of academic research. You've got potentially years to complete. It's not feasible for us to do that. So it's just about adapting the sort of skills and methodologies you do learn and picking which parts you can complete and leave out to reach some really still valid conclusions.
Mm. So let's switch gears a moment and talk about building a career specifically in market research. And to get us started on this topic, what would you say to anyone considering a career in this sector?
I think it can be quite daunting, knowing that there are going to be such high-profile people relying on you to help them make decisions. One thing I've learned, and it was one of the most difficult points for me when I very first started out, was a lot of the success is going to come from the relationship you can build with the clients you're working with. They are ultimately putting a lot of trust in you, your findings, and then also they're going to back it up usually with quite a big spend based on what you're telling them. I think it's usual to feel quite unconfident at first in being relied on in that way, and really using people around you to help you build your own confidence in seeing how they have progressed and what they have done. The variety of what your day is going to look like from today to next week is insane. You'll have clients in different sectors. So one minute you could be talking about an energy bill and now you're looking at developing supplements and medication. The variety is so insane, and that will always continue to change as you begin to work with new people and seek out new opportunities. So yes, you might perceive it to be a desk-based job sitting at a computer for the majority of the day, but what you're actually doing is so distracting from the physicality of sitting there and working that I think it would appeal to a lot more people than they might estimate themselves.
Mm. And also, I suppose you're exposed to a lot of different ways of working across different clients as well, you know, different sizes, different team structures, different personalities even. Is that quite a challenge?
It can be a challenge to set the initial vibe of working with a new client. They could be the first time they're working with an agency like FlexMR. They could have loads of previous experience with one agency or with multiple other agencies. So understanding how their previous experiences have sort of shaped their expectations, I think with new clients, it's really important to communicate about what the difficulties were. And you don't have to have a stock list of responses prepared for how you're going to help them overcome that. But the personality that you have and relating to people on a personal basis is really important to working with different clients and managing their expectations and sort of meeting, you know, being the person they want you to be, obviously, or working with all the different clients. They will think I'm different people if they all sat down in one room. But it's just dependent on how they work, fitting in with them, sort of not trying to get them to conform to how I would like to do things. So that is definitely a challenge. It takes some multitasking, but it's something that just keeps you on your toes and you end up with really good relationships with people that you wouldn't expect really to value or connect with you. So it's been really rewarding in that sense.
And so thinking about that journey from, you know, very first day one of market research to a couple of years in the industry, what should junior or young researchers focus on as they progress in their careers?
I think it is quite a high pressure environment a lot of the time being in market research. These are really important decisions a lot of the time that you're assisting businesses in making. But I would recommend you don't forget to be yourself. The clients aren't looking to work with machine robots who can churn out brilliant work in record-breaking speeds. They want to work with people. That's why they choose to continue working with agencies like us. I think there's plenty of space to bring your passions into their work as well, just through conversations you have at the start of projects or just quick catch-up calls. There's a lot that you can feed back to them. And also, even just as a person, I've spoken a lot about my personal experiences with clients that has raised questions or contradicted assumptions they have made that has triggered them needing to look into things or evaluating something from a different perspective. So for junior researchers, I would really say don't be afraid to be yourself and let these people, clients you're working with, other businesses you're working with, get to know yourself, what's important to you, and things like that.
Almost in a way, you know, you are an extension of their team, aren't you? So it's important to have that rapport with them as if you were another member of their research team. So thinking back across your career so far, what have been some of the key moments or turning points for you?
Becoming an insight manager has definitely opened opportunities I didn't realize at the time I needed. I've always been someone who lacks confidence to share my thoughts and opinions, especially when I'm in a room where I feel like I'm not the most qualified person to speak on a topic. Becoming an insight manager and having client accounts I'm responsible for overseeing has forced me into a space of speaking to clients on a regular basis, being held accountable for, you know, their successes and failures and helping them work through how we keep them on track and just being given the opportunity. And I think a lot of this for me did come from the title and the faith that then I felt Flexamar had put in me. It's a big responsibility to oversee a client account, and the feeling of having that trust put in me really boosted my confidence. And I think the way I've interacted with clients since becoming an insight manager has really changed. I'm much more willing to speak my mind and be shut down if that's what's needed to keep us on track, and really raise questions that sometimes are uncomfortable but do need to be raised. It was fed back to me fairly quickly that there was a noticeable difference in my confidence, my outward thought. So I think that definitely did make a difference for me, just starting to connect with clients more on a one-to-one basis.
I think you raised a couple of interesting points there, especially on the idea that with certain positions and with responsibility also comes the idea that someone's put a degree of trust in you, and that in itself is quite affirming of your ability. So maybe also for young researchers building their careers, it's important to find the people or find the organizations that are going to place their trust in you as well.
Yeah, and also taking any opportunities to put yourself out there is really daunting. You don't want people to lose trust in you based on something you say. But there are opportunities to speak. And I think as an industry, at conferences and things like that, we are very welcoming and appreciative of each other. It's a warm environment to step up for the first time and put yourself out there. I definitely noticed when I started going to industry conferences that people didn't perceive me as the young novice that I was concerned they would, which was really sort of keeping me in a box when I very first started.
And then also, I mean, your point on speaking your mind and, you know, having the confidence in a way to be shot down and just get back up and say, okay, fair, moving on. I think that's quite critical as well, that it's almost a two-way street. You know, you need to feel confident enough to say that piece, but then also feel confident enough to not let it bother you personally if your advice isn't heeded or if others have a different opinion to you. And that balance is quite tricky to find sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if your research experience comes from trying your hardest to be correct and get good grades at things, it's difficult to lose that mentality, really.
Mm. So, thinking ahead now, what do you see as the future of the sector in the next maybe 5 to 10 years?
I think I arrived in market research at a strange time. Being in a post-COVID world, I think it had changed very rapidly in the 12, 18 months before I arrived. The move from face-to-face data collection to online data collection was forced upon everyone to make that work, to carry on being successful. And I think the next change we're going to see now is inevitably AI. There is so much debate on where and how it should be implemented and the risks that come with that. And I think one of the greatest risks is automation is fantastic, but the majority of our work is human behavior. It's understanding other people. And I think it does really require people to be able to do that to the high standard that we all hold ourselves to. So obviously and inevitably, there is a massive place for automation and AI in market research. There are certain tasks that it is a game changer for in terms of speed, effectiveness, efficiency, things like that. I think the challenge is going to be finding the perfect balance between what we do automate and what you still need a human mind to be able to dig into a bit deeper and pick up on some cues that a computer can't necessarily do. I think we've already, especially in focus group settings, we've already lost quite a lot of the sense of behavioral cues in analysis when it's completed online. It's something as a team we've discussed a lot on how we stay on top of not missing out that chunk of analysis. And I think that's going to be our greatest challenge ahead is integrating all the AI tech and automation, but then, you know, how we still make sure we're monitoring everything it's doing and add our personal touch to it as well.
And not to draw you into probably one of the most contentious debates in the sector at the moment, but there's a huge ongoing debate around synthetic users and can you actually run research without people? And I think, like you say, the results of that, where we end up, are going to be fascinating. And perhaps there are ways in which that can be used. Is it pre-testing? Is it certain remedial tasks? But ultimately, it's all going to be about where we as people draw the lines between what we value. And I think, like you say, these next couple of years in the industry are going to be about negotiating where that line is.
Yeah. Coming from such a psychology background, I could honestly talk about this all day. But I do think there is quite a danger in trying to predict human choice making. There are an endless number of personal factors, personal experiences that feed into the way we think and act. It would be interesting to see how computer modeling can try and remain representative of absolutely everyone that we would see as a participant if we were collecting genuine data from people.
So one other question about the future. What would you like to see change in the future about the research and insight sector?
This wasn't something that occurred to me too strongly until I have gone out to more events and spoken to more people working in insights, both agency side and client side. And fortunately, it's something I think that we at FlexMR have aimed to do really well. In our industry, it's, as I mentioned before, it's very high pressure. It's very fast paced. And it leads to a lot of burnout amongst staff, especially, you know, expectations are high. They're always going to be. There's so many budgetary things, data protection things that we have to adhere to. It's always going to be a pressured environment to work in. I think since cost of living and post-COVID, it's really become a more challenging industry to remain in as well, with so many companies having to change structure and how they're working and minimize team size. I do think it's something that needs to be brought to the forefront of decision making is the well-being of people working within Insights. There's often a lot of different departments communicating and setting expectations for deadlines and receiving things. I think it definitely needs to be brought to attention how the impact it can have on the people that are working in our sector and how the policies and things businesses can have in place to protect people a little better.
I mean, it's very interesting you raise that up. Years ago, I remember, and to this day still, the MRS, for example, have a very robust code of conduct and set of ethical practices and guidelines around on-street interviews and door-to-door and well-being and protection of those types of roles. But in terms of health and well-being and the impact on people within the wider industry, like you mentioned before, it is just a desk job, but at the same time, it really isn't. Yeah, I think that's going to be another forefront for the sector in the next couple of years.
Yeah, especially as a sector who, from my experience and the clients I work with, a lot of people have remained working at home or working in a shared space opposed to being Monday to Friday office-based. I think there's a common misconception that because people are in their own homes, they have their comforts and their freedom. It's a lot harder to monitor the well-being of staff when you often won't see them for days. I think it requires another level of communication to be able to raise an issue yourself, opposed to waiting for someone to notice that you might be going through some difficulty with something. I think it's an atmosphere that people do need to try and encourage and embrace and start the conversations in checking in on people, and they're not in front of you day to day anymore. So things are a lot harder to notice when people are struggling.
And as a researcher, I think there's a fascinating question around, does that physical distance make it harder to have empathy, make it harder to sympathize, empathize, understand colleagues and other people in the industry?
Yeah, I think it's changed all our expectations. The way we communicate now via email is so much more rapid. It means that things can be addressed so much quickly, but faster, but then the expectations are also faster. You know, it's increased comforts, but I think also increased pressure with people being away from the offices.
So we are just about to hit the end of our time together today. So before we do end, Harriet, what's the one thing you'd like people to take away from today's episode and this interview?
I would say don't underestimate the sector. Don't think you know what market research is going to look like. And if you are wondering or if you're open to it, I would definitely recommend that you do some more research into it and look around and speak to people working in the sector to get a more accurate view, because it's something I think is portrayed fairly poorly compared to what the actual experience is like.
A great sell for the sector. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Well, Harriet, thank you so much again for joining me today. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you.
And thank you as ever to everybody listening as well. We'll be back next month, along with Paul Griffiths, to explore the commercial challenges and pressures of the research and insight industry. Until then, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the MRX Lab.